Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good morning. I have been struggling for almost a half hour trying to get on to Blog Talk Radio. I thank you for your patience. I'm excited because that means that there's something good that God has for us, and the enemy cannot keep it from us. And then there's just the fellowship that just makes the soul feel refreshed. And I thank God for it. You are live and on the air. Everybody's line is open. You feel free to dialogue this morning. I would put some music on, but I appreciate you've been waiting. And I just want to thank you for going down this walk of the fruit of the Spirit. The author describes the fruit as though it were a bunch of grapes. So it's one fruit, but just like a bunch of grapes have many grapes on it, the fruit of the Spirit has many elements on it as well. We have gone through, can someone tell me the ones we've gone through already? Good morning. Y'all gonna make me work.
Good morning, Minister Paulette.
Good morning. Thank you, Elder. I appreciate you. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, what a morning, I tell. Yes.
Let's see. I'm not sure. Because the fruit that we have gone through already is love, joy, and peace. And now we're at patience.
Yes. Absolutely.
And okay. As I was reading over patience, it's really very interesting because what struck me was when he said sometimes we'll pray and ask God to move us out of a situation because we really don't want to deal with it. But, he said that the patience will work strength in us, and he quoted Paul. It is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So it brought to my mind sometimes I do say, Lord, I can't deal with this. So many times we don't want to deal with certain situations, not realizing that he's working something in us. I can remember a time when my late bishop told me I wanted to switch jobs. And I told him I can't deal with those people. And he said, Roberta, God is trying to work patience in you.
Hallelujah.
He's trying to work patience in you, so you just stay right there.
That's right.
And
absolutely.
So I did. I was there over 30 years, so
praise
God
the
got the glory. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. And, you know, we don't always know the plan of God as it relates to the adversity that he allows in our lives. But we have to trust him. And so patience is very much connected to faith and trust in God. And so many people want their faith built up. Now, they'll tell you they don't have to have adversity to get patience. But they want their faith built up. Your faith can't be built up without that's a powerful, one of the most powerful exercises of spiritual discipline is that of patience, because first of all, this is the first three, love, joy, and peace, from and help me, Elder Deborah, get on the line. For our relationship with God. Oh, joy and peace, yes. And then the next three, I think is our relationship, because it was broken up to God, man, and to us.
Overseer?
Yes.
Good morning, Overseer. I don't know if you can hear me. I'm actually in a conference. But the first three are our relationship to God, the middle three are our relationship to others, and the last three are our relationship to ourselves.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And so that said, this is the first one with our relationship to others. And this one we see in the ministry of one another under to forgive one another. And so this patience, this long-suffering, is births forgiveness in our hearts. And that's a key point for us to overcome some of the bitterness and the anger and the resentment that we have. We have to forgive our trespass as he's forgiven us. And so this fruit exercise in our life is bringing forth quite a few things that we absolutely must have. Now, I believe that it's part of one of the things that we may even possibly struggle with the hardest, which is forgiveness. Because we don't want to forget, because we do want to keep score, because we don't like that scripture 70 times 7. Isn't it interesting, you know, like, oh, I don't like that scripture. You know, well, God says, that's my word. and you have to obey it, whether we like it or not. And we have to come to love and trust him, and thereby his word. And so when we have that attitude of, you know, well, you know, negative towards any particular scripture, that's an opportunity for us to stop and repent. Because that means there's something we're not embracing wholeheartedly. And if we don't embrace it wholeheartedly, the Bible says with all our minds, with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our love, we are to love him. And so that's part of loving him. So if we purposely, you know, cut holes in our love for him, it's not going to bring about the cloak of righteousness that we're going to need to cover us. I was thinking of, trying to think of, since we're at this love towards, as relates to one another, that it is an example, to come up with an example. But first of all, we see it in the very scripture that he gave us on how to pray and when to pray and what to pray. And we do know that it becomes a prerequisite for us getting forgiveness. And then there was an example that the author, and we're referring to Philip Keller's inspirational writings on a gardener's look at the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the things that he indicates about this fruit of patience and long-suffering is the fact that it does come through adversity. So this is something you can't get unless you're given adversity. And as Elder Roberta mentioned, you know, this is the very thing we ask him, deliver us from this stuff. We do not want adversity. It's not something we want in our life. Instead of some commercial they have, you know, I'm not even going to quote that commercial, but the fact that if it's happening, it's gone through his hand and it's allowed to come to us, so it has a divine purpose, and we need to find out what it is, no matter how challenging the situation is, and it will get challenging. But the more challenging the situation is, the more we're exercising our spiritual muscle of patience and long suffering. So I was looking, trying to remember in Scripture, you know, a living example of it, because we often talk about a lot of things, but we want to see a practical application of this one another and long suffering, and one that everybody can relate to. They don't like it, but they can relate to it. And I thought about in the body of Christ, women of God that have these difficult husbands, and some that had them and they decided they weren't godly enough, so that was it, and they walked away. They weren't exercising patience. And I was in remembrance of the young woman whose husband was very rude and difficult to King David and his army when the army came up to their land, and they needed a place to stay, and they needed food and that sort of thing. The husband was very rude and brutish and refused them. And even though David had a right to respond very negatively to this gentleman, he was warned not to, because, you know, the battle is not ours. It is the Lord's. And sometimes when you're placed in a certain position, you can't be the one divvying out the punishment, if you will, because then it makes you look no better than them. So that's when we give up the right for the wrong, which David gave it up. He gave up his right to respond and to retaliate, and he gave that right up, and he gave it to God, and God handled it for him. And in the interim, his wife, who knew the kind of man she had married, she didn't come up with a plan, a 5-year plan, 10-year plan. She wasn't saving up money to leave home. She had surrendered to his authority as being the head of the house. But then what she did was, after he did what he did, said what he said, and it was all over and done, then she went and got food and some things and what the army needed, and she made sure it was given to them. And that one act of kindness caused her then to be elevated to the wife of the king of Israel. Now, you can't get a greater elevation than that. I don't care how scheme and try to come up with something. Only God can do a thing like that. But even more than that, she was released earnestly from that relationship by the Lord because her husband died. And so we see how God, the battle is his. Let him do it. And when he does it, there was nothing on David's hand. There was no blood on David's hand as it related to David's kinsman and his kingship. So he had never killed, he did that one, but he would not be found having killed one of his own people from the tribe of his. And she was found in being obedient. The Lord worked it out for her. And so that's an instance where her long suffering, her patience with this great adversity worked out what they call it, above and beyond what she could ever think, hope, or trust in. She ended up in the palace of the king of Israel. And so we need to understand that while we're in the midst of it, it is unpleasant. It is more than unpleasant. And yet, it's going to work to our benefit, which is one of the scriptures the author rests this on as well. All things work together for the good. Again, that's us trusting God, not man. That's not her trying to change her husband and make him somebody that he wasn't, because she can't do that. And so often we learn in these situations just what it really looks like, marriage and relationships. We understand what our role in certain challenges in our life should mirror by looking at Scripture. And she was just a regular woman. She feared that the army could have come back and wiped them all out, but that did not happen. And so one of the things that we have to come to a place of is honestly really believing God really does know more than we do. And he really is more equipped or better equipped to deal with everything in our life and everything about our life. And then it goes back to that joy, being completely satisfied with the way he handles and manages our life. And so we have to look at this as a part of, as well, the mindset of the first church. This is the way their thinking was. This is the way they related to one another. Forgiving, not agreeing, and we talked about that last week, but finding a common ground and staying in that. And that's what finding a common ground looks like. So her common ground with her husband was the fact that Scripture does talk about relationship between a man and a wife. You know, and so how many times in our situations when we go to share with people, we're going to tell them, you know, the negative about the other person, because that is what is challenging us. And yet God wants us to, no, listen to yourself. There's something about you, you know, that I have this happening. And so you need to seek me to find out what that is. And I believe we will see that it is working, that powerful, powerful fruit of patience and long-suffering, which then births forgiveness, because you're not long-suffering and patient and patient if you're constantly keeping track and taking notes so that you can build a case. You know, no, it's so that you tear the case down so that no case can be found. And that's what being patient and long-suffering is. That's when you, the victim, has torn down the challenge in a way that when people look at it, they won't see error on anybody's part. They will see you doing what God would have you do. And I won't say they won't see error on the part of the person that's doing something negative, but the Lord will have dealt with them in that aspect. And so as a result, the most powerful they will see is what God is doing with us in our challenges. And that's the whole purpose, is for us to glorify our Lord. And so with patience, in which all of our scriptures were connected to the love scriptures from 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7, and then Galatians 5, 22 and 23, where it talks about each one of the fruit of the Spirit. And so I'll just read the one coming up to the long-suffering. In Galatians, it's love. And then in 1 Corinthians, love does not seek her own. It is not selfish nor self-centered. Joy, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rather rejoices in the truth. Love is not earthly provoked, but is serene and stable. And then that's your peace, and then long-suffering, patience, love, suffers long, perseveres, and is patient. It perseveres. It stands strong. It stands unyielding. And if you look back, it stands unyielding in truth, because that's the joy. It stands unyielding in the truth of God that has been revealed to it. It stands unyielding in truth, and by doing so, it rejoices. And so it is not provoked. It is calm and steady, because it is consuming, if you will, the truth, which is building it up, and then it is rejoicing on that truth. And then it goes back to, obviously, it is not selfish nor self-centered, because it's not about you, but about our relationship to Christ. And so with this long-suffering, this patient fruit, we see how its connection to the fruit above will cause it to be great, will cause it to be something that places us in a position that we have the kind of peace that Christ had. Because the other example that I, you know, could come off with at the top of my head was Christ. And in the midst of his adversity, in the midst of his challenge, in the midst of his life, all of the pain and all of the hatred and the suffering and the cruelty and all of the rejection, we feel, well, I've been rejected, and, you know, people were mean to me when I was a kid because I couldn't see or I couldn't walk right or whatever. I didn't look like they felt I should look. And so as a result, I have all of these insecurities and all of these negative emotions about myself. And yet Christ never responded that way, because he knew who God said he was. He trusted God to do what he said he would do, and he had faith in God. He didn't see this, but he knew that whatever had to happen would happen, and God would bless it and would bless him. And so he said oftentimes, for the joy of the, I do this for the joy. I know this makes my Father happy. You know, so there's a joy in me. You see the one thing, but I need you to see the joy of what's in me, because it makes my Father happy. And so that has to be our focus. It's completely off of ourselves. And this was the power of that first church. Those members saw each other transformed by this kind of thinking, by this truth. And it made life look so different in such a time and an age where challenges were tremendous upon them. And so they were able to embrace those people around them that would persecute them, and they would have to love them, and maybe hesitatingly so, but, you know, extend gospel to them as well. So we want to see how the fruit is interwoven in our very DNA, if you will, in our mindset, in our thinking, and how it changes how life has to look to us. And you say, well, change in what way? Well, the minute someone offends you or crosses a line of offense, or, you know, there's a limit that we have set in our lives, and as long as we have those limits and we have that line drawn in the sand that people should not step across, then we're not surrendering to God. we're not truly trusting God. We'll trust him to that line, and then he can't come over it because on the other side of the line, that's where I rule. Well, that's where I ruin my reputation as a Christian, because if we have that line, there's no love on the other side of it because it's too self-involved. It's involved in how I feel, how I think it should go, how I have assessed the situation, and what I think ought to happen. And that's too much self-interest. And so we don't want those lines. We don't want to, I got to lay down my religion. Absolutely not the most dangerous thing in the world, because who's to say your arm will be long enough to reach out and pick it back up, or that the enemy will just swoop down waiting for perfect moments like that to overwhelm us in filth and foolishness to the point that we can't get back to where we were. How dangerous of a place is that? And we can say, you know, oh, God will keep me. Well, he'll keep you before that line, then he can keep you after that line. And after the line is where the people then see him. And so even the more, they see him before that line drawn in the sand, but even afterwards, they see him the more as you demonstrate the kind of love that he has, as you demonstrate the kind of peace that he gave to us, and the joy that he made sure we had full access to, and to the love that the Holy Spirit poured into our soul. And so we want to be thoughtful of these awesome illustrations that the Word have given us. And I challenge you, which ones have you thought of a situation where the saint displayed the patience that brought about an enormous change? Anybody? Comments, questions, insights?
Well, Overseer, I can't think of anything right now, but I like, excuse me, the writer where he says on in the book, he says that we tend to chop people down. By nature, we are demanding and harsh. We want our pound of flesh from the next person. We will not put up with poor performance on the part of others. We want almost instant results, and we will not give up the benefit of the doubt or wait to see what God can do in their lives. We will not prevail in prayer for them. And when I read that, I thought, sometimes I have to, you know, in my life, you know, process, I have told them, I ain't praying for you no more. It ain't helping no way.
Amen.
It ain't helping no way for you. And I'm not putting up with your mess.
Oh, Lord. Amen. Amen.
And then he goes on to say, in the case of adversity or difficult circumstances, we want out. For the risk exit, we duck and dodge to free ourselves from any unpleasant situation. And that's so true. We even pray earnestly to be delivered from every difficult or demanding experience. So I am guilty, Lord. And when I read it, I said, Lord, I have been guilty. Because, you know, I said, enough is enough, Lord. I don't want no more. I can't take no more. Deliver me.
Amen. And that's fair. And that's true. And we have all come to those places. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
That's a blessing. That's a blessing. That's honesty in the inward parts. And that's what he requires of us.
Yes.
That's not knowing that.
You know, it had to do with love, you know, but this writer has brought it out so clearly, you know, a lot of times we don't look at it as love having anything to do with the patient part, you know.
Right.
We just don't want to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. That, well, that was better than an example out of Scripture. Okay. Because that's an example out of our lives. And those are the things that we can relate to, you know, with one another. We can understand those places that we each get in. And we need to understand how to help one another get out of them, too, you know, and not foster them into a place. Just like you say, you earnestly pray, you know, for the adversity, even other people's lives. You know, and so there has to come a time where, you know, as we are praying, we're earnestly praying for the will of God, you know, and for those benefits, my Jesus, the benefits of the cross of Jesus Christ to be a part of their lives, to start standing up in their lives like the rich treasures that they are. And then when we will stop seeking to really run away from adversity. But we'll know that it in its stead is going to rise up something very divinely powerful and very valuable, and it will help us to overcome some things.
Right, because
no,
he
it
says
really
all
does
of this. He says all of this is the opposite of love and action. Love means I will push on in spite of obstacles. Love means being willing to suffer and endure the slings and stones of life. And love perseveres against formidable odds, just simply keeping on when even a small glimmer of this grace takes root in our lives by the inworking of God's own spirit. Some astonishing things happen both to us and others. So we, you know, it when the other person sees God working in you, then they will begin to see, well, if God, you know, has given them to endure with me, then you know they'll begin to change. A change will begin to take place in them. And I think, you know, that speaking of the Christian walk and exemplifying Christ, because they are watching us. They're looking at us. And if we're supposed to exemplify him, a lot of times they'll even say, and you're supposed to be saved, and you're supposed to be an example of Christ, and you're supposed to this, that, and the other, you know. And sometimes we'll even get upset with them for saying that because, you know, we're you think just because I'm supposed to be an example of Christ, I'm supposed to put up with your mess?
Absolutely. And we say about popping that one like that and doing that neck and all the rest of it.
It's funny, yeah.
Absolutely.
But, you know, this man makes you think.
Yeah, they do. He really does. You know, and that's what's supposed to happen. That's iron sharpening iron. You know, that's don't let me stay where I am. You know, take me where you need to go, God. And, you know, sometimes it's lonely. You know, or it's funny. Sometimes, like you're doing, you got to laugh at yourself because ain't nothing else you can do. Lord, that's me. That's what I do. That's what I do. And so often with one another, it's one thing to do with the author in the book because that's an easy place. But in the face of the saints, you know, that are coming to you and to us asking for certain things, and we know that spiritually that's not what the Lord wants us to petition him about concerning them. And so just not even sometimes being, you know, not deceitful, but like, well, I just won't tell them what I'm praying. But if they knew, they may want us to stop praying. But some things, you know, it has to be. And sometimes we have to tell them, you know, and in that telling, you know, people will walk away. People, you know, will say really hurtful things because they don't believe, that we've been fair, that we've been loving, or we've been godlike, even Christian, you know, will not feel that way. And yet, you know, sometimes that's what you have to do. I know that there was a pastor or something, she, like not a motto, but a saying she had for mothers that had sons in prison, that she would pray them out of hell but not out of jail, because maybe jail is the way to keep them from going to hell. You know, so you don't know. You know, so it's not it's a horrible place. Absolutely. But sometimes things have to be that difficult and that challenging to make the kind of change that needs to happen in a person's life. So we can pray them through jail, so, you know, and got to be with them through there, but not necessarily out of it. And so it's a hard place for a person that has someone in jail, or a person in jail to be. Hey, you don't want your pastor coming talking like that to you. And yet, you know, we have to sit down, and as the scripture says, and be still, you know, and know that God is God, and that there are ways, his ways are so much different from us, and we got to trust him. And it's in these things that I think we share with people that they learn how to trust him.
Yes.
Yeah, so all the lines are open. Any comments, insights, input, dialogue you might have? You take your phones off of mute, and you are live and on the air with us. It's Words from the Words from the Ministry of Laborers for Christ, Word Life Center, under the founding apostle, Dr. Shawnette Houghton. We come to you every Friday at 10 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio. We have many other programs that are aired on Blog Talk, and for a complete list and information about the organization, look us up online at www.laborersforchrist.org. Laborersforchrist.org. Questions, comments, insights, input?
Well,
amen.
Yes. Okay. Someone else said hello? Yes.
Yes. Good morning to everyone.
Yes. Good morning.
The scripture for patience, being patient, because I need to be patient, because I let people push my button and take me there. So, praying to God, but I need to buckle down a little bit more.
You say you need it broken down a little bit more?
No, I said I need to work myself down a little bit more. But it's being patient.
Uh-huh. Can you repeat it? Because the first
up?
Part of what... Yeah, it's breaking up.
Okay.
I was asking for a scripture for patience, because I need to learn how to be patient. And because my patience is short, and I know that's not godly like for your patience to be short.
Okay. Well, you know, and I think that that's a wonderful question, because for all of us, none of us patience was long when we started this journey. And I believe that what we learn as we go is we remember how it worked for me. I have to keep remembering what Christ did for me. There is a scripture, I think, that he shares about a gentleman, and it helped me find it, Elder. It's about a gentleman who owed some money. I believe it's this one. And, bummer.
I believe it's Matthew 18:21-33.
Okay, so Matthew 18:20-21.
Yes, through 33.
Okay, through 33, and you can read that on your own. But it's just about a man who owed some money, a couple of men, and they all owed it to they owed each other, and then they owed another person. And so the first man who owed quite a bit of money to a person, that person forgave him the money and said, don't worry about it. You don't have to pay it back. Well, he was elated. But then the person that owed him a little bit of money, he was hard on him. Give me my money. You know, instead of being as gracious as the other guy was on him, he was merciless on this person that just owed him really just a little bit of money. And so the issue we see is that I started seeing is like all this that God does for me, and then when someone does something, and I do a lot of big things against God, you know, and then when someone does some little thing against me, you know, I'm like a dog with a bone, you know, just going to, you know, You did wrong. Whereas God is saying, and Christ is saying, she's my own. You know, forgive her. And so it's birthed out of forgiveness, and to whom much is given, much is required. And so the Holy Spirit brings to our remembrance all of the things that Jesus has done for us. You know, he said, when I sit and I think about the goodness of God. Well, when I sit and I think about God's response to my ignorance, that's when my soul rejoices. I mean, there's so many times in my life I should have been dead. There were so many times I didn't deserve to breathe. But he had that kind of mercy on me. So I can't see anybody any less else. Okay, I set myself up to be judged, and I don't want to do that. And so as a result, because if I was setting myself up to be judged, I know how harshly I would be judged. And so patience comes when you realize that how patient God was with us. And as a result, he desires for us to show that same level of patience with someone else. Now, the reason he wants us to show it to someone else is twofold. Now, one fold is so that person can have a relationship, okay, with not just only God, but with God's people. So that means it's to a sinner or to someone who hasn't established relationships with God's people. They don't know how it goes. They don't know how this thing works. So that's our opportunity to show them how it works. And then the second thing is so that giving this forgiveness and this mercy, and you're being patient about it, it's because of a grateful heart. You're grateful for what God did for you. This is how you worship God, by doing for others what he did for you. And one of the things Scripture always says, and we say, well, you know, I'm not like Jesus. But Jesus said, you can be. Just, you know, follow me. Sit at my feet and learn of me. I'm lowly. I am meek. I am humble. That's the kind of person I am. And that's the kind of person I need you to be. Because in being that, all of the stresses, all of the burdens that you, that will come upon you won't rest so heavy on you, because you'll learn, you will have learned how to give them to me. You will have learned how to trust me. Remember we said patience is learning how to trust God, not trusting man, but not even concerned with what man can do to you, because you're so grateful for what God has already done with you and for you. So there's always a place that we stand in honor, because God has put us in that place of honor. And so while we're standing in that place of honor, of being forgiven, we want to be found forgiving other people. Now, one of the things sometimes I think as it relates to patience, and that's that perseverance, is that line that's drawn, that we said, that line that's drawn in the dirt. Because once you draw that line, you know, you can't come over that line. And that's us, first of all, not trusting God to fully take care of us. No matter what side of that line you on, you need the Lord at all times. And you can't do it. We as a people, particularly black women, we have had to take care of ourselves for so long that we have made a religion out of it. We've made it our God, because this is me. You don't want to mess with me. You know, why not? You bleed and die just like everybody else. Okay. So, but we have this mindset of this toughness, because it was our survival instinct. And Christ is telling us, you don't have to be like that. That's not how I created you. That is not how I want a woman of God to look. Not like some tough mama, but rather this gracious, helpless, beautiful, dependent bride. And so when we think of ourselves as what a bride looks like on her wedding day, this is what God, that's how God sees us every day. So anything else, we're out of that character, because he wants to be the one to take care of his bride, and that's who we are. And that's hard for a woman to sometimes relinquish, and then sometimes it makes it easy for a woman to relinquish that kind of, make herself vulnerable like that, because it comes in trust. And so these things of patience that we're learning, and some of the other fruit that as we learn them, will understand they build our faith. They build our trust. They're the things that when we do it, we learn, you know what, I don't even have to worry about you. You know what, because God got me. He says he will make all things work to my good. I don't have to do this. He said that the battle is not mine. It is his. So there's some scripture that as we have these thoughts that rise up, and we will, because that's how we've been taught, how we've been trained, and how we have learned to think. And so when we have these thoughts, we have to realize that there is a word of God that will come against the thought. And we have to know that word. We have to put it in our hearts and memorize it, so when it comes up, you know, we say, you know what? All things work together for the good for those that are called by the Lord. He is going to do this. He said he would. He promised. You know, this is what, you know, he is concerned about everything that concerns me. That's what his word says. He'll make all things work to the good. So these are the things that the word that are truth that has to rest in our spirit when our spirit is like getting ready to explode like a volcano. Okay? That's just like pouring water into it and calming it and causing it nothing but steam and vapor to come up as a result and not, you know, exploding with lava and that sort of thing. Hello?
Thank you. I really enjoyed that. That helped me out. So,
amen.
I read Matthew's, and I seen what you was talking about.
Oh, okay. All right.
It really helps. So.
I am so happy that you're here sharing with us today, and I really encourage you to follow along in the book. Or, you know, get you some, just even the printout of it, because it's such a wonderful study on the fruit of the Spirit and how we're to respond to each other, particularly these next three fruit, the way we're to respond to one another in long-suffering and, what is the other two, in kindness and gentleness. And in goodness. And these next three are going to be very difficult because, first of all, we have a misconception of what they mean. And then because it doesn't, what God intends for it to look like is not necessarily what we think that they look like. So we have to really be careful and study to know and be found approved. All right. Any more questions, comments, input, insight?
Well, Minister Paulette, if I could read this last thing from the author, The Benefits of Patience. He says, for the child of God, the development of patience has two enormous benefits. It produces within his own character, the child of God, tremendous strength and endurance, toughness, not tough in the sense of being rough or rowdy, but rather tough in one's ability to endure hard people and hard situations with serenity and stability. Second, as we are patient under adversity, we discover the great faithfulness of our God to us in every situation. Little by little, we learn the practical truth of that great statement made by Paul in Philippians 2:13. It is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that we'll find, just as we're finding in the fruit, it's all in God's hand. God produces it all. There's nothing we really have to do. You know, these are things that I guess we know. I know I got to do this. I'm not there yet. You know what? But we're where he needs us to be. We just have to allow him to be where we are, you know, which is why we say, you know, let the love of God bring you the peace of Jesus Christ and let the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, empower you to do his will. You have to let him do that. And, you know, part of that letting is just like on a roller coaster. You know, you make your mind up, you're going to get on it, and you look at it as you're waiting in line, and getting longer and longer, and it looks like it's getting higher and higher and higher. But you already decided you're going to get on. I'm going to get on. Then when you get on it, you're like, oh, why am I on this thing? Oh, my God. But what you end up doing is letting go, because you're on it now, and you're going to do it. And that's the thing. Adversity is going to come. And I think if you check the way you've been dealing with it up until this point, it hasn't worked anyway, not the way you intended for it to work. But just like on that roller coaster, when you finally just throw your hands up, and I look at that throwing our hands up as a sign of just worshiping. I'm just going to worship God, and you're not saying whatever happens, let it happen. No, I'm worshiping God, and I trust God that what's happened is going to be good, because he says he will not withhold any good thing from me. All of these are my promises, and I walk and I stand on the promises of God. And so once you put your hands up, and you actually get to what they look like, they get to enjoy the ride, those that are gripping and holding on to the thing across them look like they're about to burst out of their skin and their eyes are about to pop. Now, I don't know because I don't get on them. However, never did. But I believe that it is at some point that we do. We decide, you know what, I'm it's happening. You know, it's here. You know, maybe I'm here for, I'm here. This is where I was supposed to be. I'm sure of that. God told me that. You know, just like Elder Roberta, she told you that job was your job. And, you know, you go, I can't tell you, I'm leaving. But you listened and you said, okay, fine. So you let go of your own your own preferences. And you just allow God to just be in charge of your response to these people. And you there for 30 years. And it was a blessing. And that's what happened. So I tell anybody, get excited, because the King of Glory got a plan for your life, and you want that plan. And it's not going to look like we want it to look, but, oh, it's a good plan. And he knows about it. Nothing that happens is a surprise to him. He knew, and he chose you to help him in this particular purpose that he has for people. So get excited about it. Praise the Lord. Get excited. And trust him to do what he said he will do. Amen. Do you have any more questions or comments or insights? Again, I thank you for patiently waiting on me. I don't know what that was this morning with the website. But I guess every now and then it wants to have a fit too. I don't know. If not,
Amen.
I do look forward to sharing with you again next week. And do be blessed by the very, very love of God that brings a peace and a joy that nothing else in this world can. Enjoy it.
You too.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.